Maynard Jackson's pedigree in Atlanta's black leadership runs pretty deep, doesn't it?
Absolutely. His grandfather was John Wesley Dobbs, who was one of the real leaders of Atlanta's black community in the 30s and the 40s and afterwards. John Wesley Dobbs was the unofficial mayor of Auburn Avenue, is reputed to have coined the phrase Sweet Auburn to describe one of the leading black thoroughfares in the United States, and a leader in voter registration in the 1930s and 40s, and just a larger-than-life figure in his own right. And John Wesley Dobbs had six daughters, all of whom went to Spelman College and all of whom became very accomplished Matawilda jobs. Maynard's aunt was an internationally known opera star. His own mother had a PhD in French from the University of Toulouse, was a professor of French eventually at Spelman College. So a very distinguished pedigree indeed.
And Maynard himself was a Morehouse man, or maybe a Morehouse teenager.
Maynard graduated from Morehouse College at the age of 18, eventually went to law school, came back here in the 60s, and was working for legal services as a 30-year-old attorney when Robert F. Kennedy died in 1968. And almost impulsively, he decided to enter the U.S. Senate primary against longtime Senator Herman Talmadge, who had been in that office since 1956, for a long, long time, the scion of a famous Georgia political family.
So 1968, Maynard Jackson thinks he can beat Herman Talmadge in the Democratic primary, and that...
I'm not sure if he thinks he can win, but he challenges him.
Okay.
And, of course, Talmadge wins, but Jackson ends up getting a third of the total vote in the Democratic primary in the state and carries Fulton County. So clearly now he is a force. And he's kind of, despite his pedigree, something of a newcomer on the scene. The way things had worked with Mayors Ivan Allen and Mayor Bill Hartsfield is that white-black leaders would kind of talk behind the scenes and figure out who would be the candidate for mayor and so forth. And here Jackson kind of comes out of the blue and sort of electrifying. You know, and he's 30 years old. So the following year, he runs and is victorious for the position of vice mayor. The mayor is Sam Bassell. And many in the black leadership think that Bassell will also serve two terms. And then in 1977, when the demographics of the city have changed, Maynard Jackson should then run as the first black mayor in the city and become the first black mayor in the city.
And there was an understanding, apparently, between the African-American leadership and Sam Bassell's people, we'll vote for you. And so he had that support. He had black support.
Absolutely. He did have black support. He was a Jewish man, Bassell did. But Maynard challenges Bassell directly and runs against him for mayor in 1973. It's a very contentious race. Bassell has a campaign slogan, "The City Too Young to Die," and kind of suggests that if a black mayor is elected, the city will go into decline. And Jackson is triumphant on this date. And it's really something of a red letter day, because not only is he the first black mayor of Atlanta, but he's the first black mayor of a major southern city. You know, when you think about the Voting Rights Act in 1965, in many ways it's as much a beginning as a culmination. And it's not for some time that you do have black elected officials and so forth. And so Jackson winning as mayor of Atlanta in 1973 is a big deal nationwide, as well as in the South, as well as here in Atlanta.
I talked to Sam Bassell a couple of years ago about that race, and I asked him, you know, because Bassell was a progressive white mayor.
Yeah.
And had black support.
Right.
And regrettably, that contest became racial and things were said that were inappropriate on both sides, apparently. And I asked him about the way it turned out, and he said, well, he said, I realized the time had come for Atlanta to have a black mayor, although you probably would have preferred if it had been 4 years later.
Right.
But the time had come.
Well, you remember the demographics had changed dramatically. Prior to the 60s, the black vote had been kind of the balance of power. But now there was, as white flight took place, the black vote was going to be close to a majority, if not a majority, of the voters in the city. So Jackson's term, I mean, I've heard him say, you know, he had to deal with low white expectations and high black expectations, and the high black expectations in many ways were the harder to kind of deal with, because there's no way he could beat these super high black expectations. His term is marked by a variety of issues. You see the neighborhood movement begin at that time, the neighborhood planning system and so forth. You see police reform. You see beginning of the historic preservation movement in Atlanta. But what probably characterizes Jackson's term as much as anything is the issue of affirmative action at the airport. The airport is undergoing redevelopment, and Jackson really insists that African-American contractors and vendors be represented in this kind of way at the airport. And he really arches his back and stands strong on that. And that's probably the defining moment, I would say, of his term as mayor.
He serves two terms as mayor, and he takes a couple off. Andrew Young comes in, and then Maynard Jackson, being Maynard Jackson, decides to run again for a third term.
He only serves one term in office from 1990 to 1994. It's during that time that Atlanta receives the Olympic bid, and Maynard Jackson is there to take the torch, as it were, in the Olympics in Barcelona in 1992. But he does leave office after a single term.
Interesting. Cliff, thanks.
Thank you.